That's an amazing song, that last one we just sang. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8. I'd like to look at the first four verses. Before we do, though, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, it's so good to be able to come together as brethren and approach you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for your watch care. Thank you for your mercy and compassion. Bless the word to our hearts. Help us to worship and forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen. In three of the Gospels, there's recorded this story about the healing of a leper. And this healing, it was brought about in time. But this event that we're about to consider for a few minutes was eternally purposed. Before the foundation of the world, Almighty God purposed, ordained all things that would come about in time. We're watching things happen today that God has purposed. Everything that happened, the Lord has ordained. Now this lesson right here, it's concerning the healing of a leper, yes. But let us never forget that every act of the Lord Jesus Christ was so ordered and ordained by God Almighty to set forth the glory of God in the redemption and salvation of His people. This healing has a meaning, has a purpose. We're going to see the glory of the Lord. But there's something else that we're going to see in this thing, and it's the revelation of the attitude or the responsiveness of a new heart. Whenever the Lord has given a man or woman a new heart, a new mind, a new person, when they've been born from above, how do they act? What is the lesson that we learn in repentance? You know, so many times we read in the scripture where we're commanded to come to Christ. Come to Christ. I jotted down a few of these. Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me." John 6:35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." And here's one that I love this passage. I quote it all the time. John 6:37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now that truth of coming to Christ, I looked up the meaning just to see what does the word come mean. I know what it means in my mind, but what's the Greek word mean? Here's what it means: to arrive, to be present, to seek intimacy with, to become a follower, to come to Christ. Now, I grew up knowing and hearing that word. That, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. And in my mind, I had to associate, based on what I was taught, with walking down an aisle. I mean, that was the only thing that I had to really grasp hold of. Coming to Christ, walking down the aisle. But there's a coming in a believer's heart. It's not an outward motion. It's not an outward form. It is a heart coming. It is a desire to seek intimacy with Him, to come to Him. Now, I want us to see, what does the Lord have to say about coming to Him? This is an important thought. Have I come to Christ? I know what it means. I can see what it means. Have I come to the Lord? Would you desire to know? Would you desire to know something of the spiritual evidence set forth in God's Word? What happens, not only outwardly, but what happens according to the Scriptures inwardly in coming to Christ? I want to know what the Spirit of God has to say about coming to the Lord. Now let's look at Matthew 8, verses 1 to 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Now, let's just look for a second. What had just happened? Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7. The Lord had been preaching a sermon. Three chapters he had preached the Sermon on the Mount. And he had just finished. Now look at the last couple of verses. Matthew 7, verses 28-29. Matthew 7, 28-29. It came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having an authority, and not as the scribes. Now they'd heard the Lord preaching, and the doctrine that he was preaching, they were astonished. Now, gladly amazed and gripped in their heart. Here's another word of that word, astonished. It was fresh to them. They heard something that just amazed them. This man was preaching, not like the scribes were preaching. This man was preaching with authority. His word pierced their heart. He had just preached a parable, one of the last things that he had been preaching. He was in verse 24. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descending, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And as soon as he'd finished those sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. What he had been preaching concerning was the difference between true faith and a false faith. What he'd been preaching was about the building of a house on a rock or on the sand, but actually what he was preaching was the difference between man's will and God's will. There's a difference between sovereign grace and foolish man's works. He was man's works and God's work. And that astonished them. They were hearing something other than what they'd always heard. They came up under the scribes, and these scribes, it had deteriorated down to just works, law. That's all it was. It was just go to the Sabbath day. Don't do it. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said, "I came up concerning, you know, righteousness of the law. I was blameless. I'd never." All he knew was the rules and the regulations, and these people were listening to the Lord preaching. He taught them that he was the rock upon which a man must build, that he was the chief cornerstone. And that astonished them. They heard that you build upon me and you'll never perish. You build upon me. He was the refuge of safety. He was stability, and that astonished them. I remember the first time that I ever truly heard. I'm not talking about when the Lord revealed Christ to me. I'm talking about when I first heard anything of sovereign grace. So many of you grew up hearing the message of grace, sovereign grace. I never heard the gospel until I was in my late 20s. I'd never heard of electing grace, predestinating grace. I'd never heard of it. Never heard it. We had a study course one time. You don't even know what a study course. You know what a study course is? A study course. It's just a little prepared booklet. We're going to go through this booklet, and it's going to take a week. And it's, you know, somebody's going to teach it. And they took a book of the Bible, and we'd have a study course. And we'd go chuck every night, you know, Monday through Friday night, something like that. Yeah. Go to the study course. I was pastoring a Southern Baptist church. The church that I was pastoring when the Lord was pleased to reveal Christ to me. And I picked up one of the study course books, and it was on the book of Romans. I was excited to see, what is this book going to say concerning Romans 8 and Romans 9 and 10? It wasn't even there. It just skipped it. You skipped. You're going to study the book of Romans, and it just skipped it. I had never heard. These people heard the Lord preached. And the scripture says they were astonished at his doctrine. This man taught them as one that had authority. Not as the scribes. He taught them that the house or the hope of their salvation is going to be tried. What, outward trials? Yeah. But the true trial of a man's hope, a man's stability, a man's house is going to be God's word. Hold your place right there and turn to John 12. John 12, 46. John 12, 46. I was reading this again and I thought, Oh, how revealing. John 12, 46. The Lord said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The reason I make such, I want to qualify when I read something like this, because I remember what it was to sit and have a scripture like this not explained to me. I remember what it was like to sit and hear these scriptures just glazed over. I'm come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me, that is excluding all of my work. See, I always believed, I always heard that, you know, by me believing on the Lord, I therefore was saved. Nobody ever told me that the Lord saved me first, and then I believed. I'm come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. This is what I know. This word that we're looking at tonight is going to be the very foundation of our judgment. I know that. And I know in my heart, I'm convinced that God has taught me that to build my hope, build my house upon the sand of my choice and my will and my baptism and my this and my that and my other, it's going to fall. I know it's going to fall. I'm convinced of that. I don't want to build upon the sand of my own ability. That's what it is. That's the sand upon which a man builds his house. If the house built upon Christ alone is going to stand, build it upon the sand of myself, and it's going to fail. The Lord taught them with authority. He didn't offer an opinion. It wasn't a question and answer debate. He didn't utter a speculative theory. He taught them with authority. This is the way it is. Well, Matthew 8. Now let's just look for just a minute at the open manifestation. What happens? What is the evidence of one who has built his house, his hope, upon the rock? What's the evidence of that? Well, the scripture says, verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And behold, see this. Look upon this. Behold. View this as being so. There came a leper. Luke 5:12 says, a man full of leprosy. Here was a man dying. This man had a disease of which was no known cure. Leprosy had one end. You're going to die. Here was a man who was an outcast from the fold. Unclean. Unclean. No fellowship. No fellowship. Don't come near me. I've got leprosy. No comfort. Never went to bed with any kind of thought of hope, never woke up during the night, not one time ever thinking, maybe there's a chance. Not humanly speaking. Here was a picture of a man truly convinced of sin and the effects. Leprosy had no known cure. And sin? What does the scripture say concerning the sin? The soul that sinneth, you're going to die. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this is the way it is. This is man by nature. But the scripture says, behold, there came a leper. Here was a leper who was a representative of every poor, wretched, dying sinner. Here was a man convinced, I'm a leper. I am a dying man. I'm a walking dead man. It's just a matter of time for me. I don't have anything to look forward to. This is what I know is so. There's two things. Here's the first thing I know. This man was convinced, I'm a leper. I am a leper. Until the Lord reveals to a man or a woman, you are a helpless, hopeless, dying sinner. He's not coming. He's not coming to Christ. He'll come to the water. He'll come to his will. He'll come to his profession. He'll come to his church membership. He'll come to anything. But he won't come to Christ. Because he's not convinced that he's hopelessly lost. He still believes he can do something. Every man, every woman is born convinced, I can do something. It's not hopeless yet. This leper could will to be freed from the bondage of leprosy. You can will all you want to. He could exercise his free will. He could dip himself in every pool of water in the area. He could start tithing. He can fast. He can try to do every wonderful work. He can turn over a new leaf. He can straighten up and fly right. And you know what? He's done all that he can possibly do, and he's still a leper. I think about Naaman. Go back and read Naaman. Back in 1 Kings. He was a captain of the Syrian army, and he was by him the Lord had brought a mighty victory. All of these great credentials, and right down here at the bottom it says, but he was a leper. Going to die. A man, a woman is born a spiritual leper, and you have no ability. I have no ability to change it. I cannot change it. I cannot exercise anything and change my condition before God. He was convinced that he was a leper. There came a leper. But I tell you what this leper was also convinced of. The Lord is my only hope. I don't have another hope. The scripture says he came and he worshiped him. You look up that definition of worship. You know what it says? To kiss the hand. To kiss the hand. It's like a dog that comes and licked the hand of its master. Just Psalm 2:12, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. It's only when the Spirit of God has given a man or woman a heart to have no confidence in their flesh. This man's a leper. If he could change his condition, Pat, he'd have done it. He'd already done it. I don't know if that's good English, but you know what I'm saying. He'd have done something. He wouldn't still be a leper, I tell you that, if he could change it. If there was anything he could do, and he acknowledged the Lord Jesus to be the sovereign God, he worshiped him saying, Lord, you're God. Here's a beggar, a dying, leprous beggar, before the sovereign of this universe. This is the one that Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. You go back there and read that and get a chance. Isaiah 6, 1 through there. I saw the Lord. It's capital L, little O, little R, little D. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. I saw the Lord. Lord, here is the Lord that dying thief cast himself upon for mercy. Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, would you remember me? Lord, would you look upon me in mercy? And this leper, right here, and here's the evidence. I mean, this leper is a picture. If we don't see this leper as a picture of every needy sinner convinced of his need, he's the leper. Now that ended that part of it for him. But what he saw by grace and by faith concerning the Lord, here's a man God's done something for. I can tell you this man, without faith, he'd never come and worshiped. He wouldn't have worshiped. This man came and worshiped God, and he said, Lord, and listen here, listen to this evidence. Everything hinged upon the Lord's will. Lord, if thou wilt, I know you can, but I'm just asking you, if you will, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, if it pleases you, I don't deserve it. I've done nothing to merit it. You're God. You've made me. This leprosy that I have, it's the effect of sin, and I know it. I don't have anything that I didn't deserve. I'm a rebel against you. I'm a rebel against all that you are, said. And if I die, if I perish, I'm going to receive exactly what was coming to me. And you're just. But Lord, I'm just asking you. I'm just asking. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And I'm just going to leave it there, Lord, in your hands. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Mark 1:41 of this same account says Jesus was moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him, and saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That man's leprosy proved to be the means by which God was pleased to cause that man, humanly speaking, but it was according to God's eternal will, that the Lord was going to bring that man to himself. Gave that man leprosy. You say, well, I don't see why the Lord had to do that. What the Lord did was right. Gave him leprosy. How many times have many of us in this congregation, has the Lord been pleased to give us something that he used, he was pleased to use, to cause us to see the frailty of our flesh? I'll tell you this, whenever the Lord is pleased to touch our bodies, give us an infirmity, something like that, doesn't it seem as though to us that we're reminded more quickly how frail we are? Oh, the hope that a man has when that man is found to cast himself upon the mercy of God. He just doesn't want to cast himself on himself anymore. He did it one time, but he finds no pleasure in that. It's repulsive to him. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then the Lord Jesus, in verse 4, saith unto him, see, thou tell no man. Now listen, there was a multitude standing around them. The scripture says, when he was come down, verse 1, from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. They're following him. They're all around him. And a leper walks up to him. And then the conversation between the Lord and that leper takes place. And this multitude is standing there. And the Lord says, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony. What was the Lord telling him? Now, they were still under that Mosaic law. Here was the law. The Lord came into this world. He said, I came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. And the law commanded a healed leper, you go to the priest and let the priest examine you and declare you to be clean, healed. And this man still had, and the Lord absolutely, in obedience to the law, here's what he said. They're all standing there. Here's what he said. Don't stop and talk to anyone. You go right now and follow the dictates of the law to be a testimony unto the priests of the Lord's authority. I just imagine he's going to go and tell them when he said, well, how'd you get healed? This man, Jesus of Nazareth, he's the Messiah. He touched me. And I was clean immediately. The Lord Jesus Christ was proven by miracles and signs and wonders to be the Christ. And while they all stood there, the Lord told this man, you go right now to the priest and you tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. The lessons from a leper. Here is an example of what happens when God Almighty saves a man, saves a woman. They see themselves for what they are. And they see the Lord for who he is. And they come to him as a beggar. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I tell you this, any man or woman that asks that in their heart, the Lord's already given them a new heart. Bless the word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.